AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, I think. Good afternoon. Happy lunchtime, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to another live edition of Kabbali and Mac. It's always live, well, 99.9% of the time anyway. On YouTube, make sure you're following us and subscribed to Kabbali and Mac at just close to 2,000 subscribers. When we get to 2,500, somebody wins an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Just for subscribing to the show on YouTube. It's that easy. Make sure you follow along on X and Facebook and TikTok. And of course, Instagram, where once we get to 500 followers, somebody will get this beautiful $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Cucina in Jefferson Hills. Delicious food. You could get the Pappy Nola in Kabbali's honor and then maybe drop the leftovers at his house. He wouldn't mind. Thanks to our friends from the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, who are the presenting sponsors of Kabbali and Mac. We couldn't do any of this without them and all of our fantastic supporters, including those of you watching right now live on whatever social media platform that you're on or YouTube. Kaboom, you had to tweet out that I'm pissed, right? You had to do that. I'm not pissed.
I think it's about time I get back a little bit. You know, let's turn the tables a little bit.
Just a little.
I mean, I get onto the old platform here.
Yeah.
And I'm in the waiting room until you let me in. And as soon as I tune in, I hear, "Son of a bitch." I'm like, wow, your hat was like sideways. Your face was red. I'm like, this is funny. You don't even know I'm watching.
The laptop was not doing what I wanted it to do. On top of that, I could go through the laundry list of things that have gone wrong in the last couple days. Dishwasher's leaking. Washer isn't working right. And we just found out. Nobody cares about this crap, by the way. And really, it's not a complaint. It's just, we got everyday normal shit going on in our lives, just like everybody who's watching and following along. We're supposed to go to the Dominican Republic next Sunday. So the 27th, right? Nice all-inclusive vacation for the family.
Oh, I thought that was in August.
It starts on July 27th and ends on August 2nd or whatever. I don't know. We're going for a week. What's that?
The Dominican.
Yeah, Dominican. But here's the problem. We renewed the kids' passports a few months ago. And we just found out that they literally just changed. It's not the same on all the websites. Like, everybody's website is different. That your passport has to be valid for 6 months from the date you travel. Otherwise, they might not let you into the country or even let you leave for the country that you're going to. And we're leaving on July 27th. Guess when our passports, my wife and I, our passports expire?
July 26th.
No, January 26th. One day shy of six months. So we have figured out that the safest thing possible, this is so stupid, we to get an expedited passport, like to actually go get an emergency passport, which this is since it's less than 14 days, guess where you have to drive to get it?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Mm-mm, not even that close.
Philadelphia.
Almost. Buffalo, New York, my friends.
That's an easy drive. Bang.
I don't care. It's 3 hours and 45 minutes. Bang. Monday, we got to drive up to Buffalo.
Buffalo. Huh? I thought you were going to say you're just going to drive to the Dominican.
Yeah, we're just going to take a ferry over. It's so stupid. I mean, I can't
wait. What's the rules again, though? If they,
your passport cannot expire less than 6 months before your date of travel, and ours expires 1 day less than 6 months from the day.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, when it expires, not 6 months before it expires.
That's what I said too, but we want to be safe. We don't want to get, you know, we spend thousands of dollars on a vacation. We're lucky enough to be going. It's going to be great. I can't wait for once we get there. This is just going to make it that much a better story. But the passport thing is just, yeah, the expiration date should be the expiration date. Whatever. Nobody cares about our travel concern.
Oh. You know, my history with dishwashers, might as well just go buy a new one.
No, we got it fixed again. We spent like $200 in the last month fixing it instead of just going and buying a new one.
It's like a valve leak or something like that?
I don't know. I don't even know. The guy comes and he fixes it, and I say thank you, and we pay, and that's that. We're whatever. There could be worse things. There could be no dishwasher.
Look at
you. I didn't grow up with a dishwasher. I didn't wash everything by hand.
Broke. First world problems, right?
I'll just say all these stupid first world problems, dishwashers and washing machines.
My passport. It might be invalid for my trip to the Dominican.
I know. Sound like such a cake eater. Not having as bad a day as this guy. This has been making the rounds on social media this morning. And then we'll get into what Cam Hayward had to say about TJ Watt and Omar Khan. We'll get into some interesting stuff that happened yesterday in the world of WWE, which I know Kaboom is keeping a close eye on. And also, I thought you wrote a great piece the other day about one guy who's a part of one position group in particular that's crucial to the Steelers actually succeeding this year. And no, it's not Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to all that in just a second. But I don't know if you've seen this or not. It is absolutely lighting up social media today. Just indulge me for a second.
Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
So, that is the kiss cam at Gillette Stadium, okay? Coldplay played a concert there the other night, and I don't care if you're a Coldplay fan or what you think of Chris Martin, the lead singer, and none of that matters. Important part here is they went to the kiss cam, right? And you catch people in awkward situations. Turns out this was a legit awkward situation. The dude with his arms around the woman is this guy named Andy Byron, who's the CEO of some software company, and the woman his arms around is his chief human resources officer, which is why he immediately ducked out of the shot and she turned around and hit her face. And I just find it hilarious that somebody got popped on the kiss cam.
Well, you shouldn't be having your arms around a person while kiss cam is up. I mean, that's just an invitation of saying, put it on me. And number two is, you know, I don't quite feel bad for his wife because his wife now is going to get,
oh, yeah. She's going to cash in. She's going to cash in big. He's the CEO of some billion-dollar tech company. Yeah. Plus, she's going to get half of that. Bang.
Plus, you know what? He probably deserved it if you decide to go to Coldplay. So, I mean, he probably accidentally deserved it. So,
I don't mind Coldplay. I know that's not up your alley.
I probably do know a Coldplay song if I hear it, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
What tell me, what artist do you actually know? Like, if you hear a song, bang, you instantly know, like Metallica.
Oh, absolutely. Metallica.
Okay.
I mean, I know a lot of them. I mean, but Coldplay is not on my top 10 list or my top 100 or what's the gimmick now? The top five players of the 25th century or 25th
top 10 players
of the 21st century or the past 25 years or whatever it was. They're not on my list of bands of the past 25 years.
Of the 2000s? No, that's fair.
Now, if I hear James is Laid, I know that.
Okay. But that's, you're pretty limited, though.
Yeah. I grew up during probably the best and the worst part of the music industry. You had some of the icons in the early part of my, formidable years with the Chili Peppers and
right.
Stone Temple Pilots and so on and so forth.
Grunge era.
Then we hit into the mid-90s, and I was like, wow, we have a lot of one-hit wonders and some weird bands. You remember Sponge? And
oh, Sponge? Yeah. I remember those songs. Plowed.
I can't even think of some other ones. You know what? I got two huge boxes full of CDs up in my garage. What do you do with CDs now? I mean, huge. They have to be 100 pounds each.
Don't ask me why it's in my office, but we have this whole binder that you remember carrying around binders with CDs in your car. We have this whole binder here of just filled with CDs that we're never going to listen to again. We ought to just throw it away.
Yeah, but you don't want to because.
Hold on. I'm going to open it to a random page. Now, keep in mind, most of these are my wife's, so you're going to make fun of me. But let's see what the first one I pull out is. Oh, here we go. I bet you'd be a fan of this one.
What's that?
Nickelback? Kabali, a Nickelback fan?
Not really.
No?
Nickelback. That was a little bit after my time.
What is your time? Like 1989 to 1993?
Late 80s with when you had, the heavy metal, not heavy metal, the glam rock, the Poisons, the Guns N' Roses. Then you switched into very hard Nirvana's, Pearl Jam, Seattle Sound. Then I could say in my college years was just, now I think about it, was just, really, really bad music. It was a lot of one-hit wonders.
A lot of 80s on 8 for Kaboom. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show. We appreciate everything they do. SouthwestGreensPA.com. It's that time of year where if you want the grass to look good, you got to water it constantly. And then it pours down rain and it just turns into a swamp. Or you got to spray stuff on it to keep the bugs away or to fertilize it or whatever you do. Talk to Southwest Greens. You don't have to do the whole yard. Maybe you do a corner. You're a golfer. You want to have a little putting green maybe in the back corner or a nice area around the kids' play set or around the pool. SouthwestGreensPA.com is where you go. Tell Jake the Kabali and Max sent you. They'll do a beautiful artificial lawn that looks and acts real, perfect for you. You can use it any time of year, soaking the kids, soaking the pets. And best part, you're not out there watering it. You're not cutting it all the time. You're not taking care of it. You get it taken care of once, and you got the best looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Thanks to Southwest Greens. Go to SouthwestGreensPA.com. All right. I said we'd get to Cam Hayward. So let's get to Cam Hayward, who was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday and was asked about the persistent trade rumors surrounding his teammate, TJ Watt.
I'm going up to Omar and I'm telling him that's not happening. if there's even a trade that gets up there, I don't think it helps our team to trade a guy like that.
Do you have that power? Are you?
No, I don't. I don't have that power.
You just bang on the door and be like, yeah. Yo.
I'll be like, hey, guys, we got to have a talk. I don't know if it's even going to work, but I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and just say, this cannot happen. You know, and I'm going to fail, but that's just the way I feel.
Cam Hayward on the Rich Eisen show yesterday. It's just weird to see Seth Rollins hosting the Rich Eisen show, but that's something we can talk about later.
Or him, Cam rocking the old Pat McAfee show shirt on.
He did have the McAfee shirt on, didn't he?
I wonder where he got that. I think our good buddy Phil gave it to him the day before.
Oh, smart man Phil is. So Cam is, he's not literally going to walk into Omar's office and pound on the desk and say, don't you dare do this. And we've already talked about that, though. We've already talked about how a trade of TJ Watt is not realistic. It's not happening. And we talked the other day about what we think he's looking for. He wants to be the highest paid player on the defensive side of the ball. We continue to sit and wait and sit and wait. But I think the important point that Cam made there is one we've talked about before. It simply doesn't make them better to not have TJ Watt on the roster this year. So this is one of those points where I stop and we talk about the leverage back and forth between TJ and the Steelers, back and forth, back and forth. And I think that's one key point that we all kind of forget because people want to explain it away as if, oh, well, TJ didn't have a strong end of the season and he's getting older and doesn't matter. He's still an all-pro edge rusher, and you still, if you're the Steelers, are painted into the corner of basically giving him what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so, man. When you put together a roster that think you're going to win now, you're going to need your best player available to you. And I think he still is their best player here. And I think it's, you know, it's just how the negotiations go right now. I have no concern. The Steelers have zero interest in trading him, what I've been told. I mean, I'm sure things can change if it gets ugly, but they have zero interest because the return is just not going to be worth it. It'd be much more worth just letting him play out his final year and see if you can get something done before March 5th next year, where, you know, the new league year and you're really still under contract. It probably wouldn't happen. I mean, you can also franchise tag him, but I just don't think giving up TJ Watt or a potential second, maybe a third round pick is just a smart business move at this point.
You really think that's all they'd get?
I don't think they're going to get much. He's 31, and you're going to have to pay him 4 years of guaranteed of, you know, 90 to 100 million, a couple of those years guaranteed. There's not going to be a lot of people at the front of the line saying, okay, we got to do this, and we got to give you a first rounder in the third. No, I just don't think the market's out there for a 31-year-old guy who has an impending huge contract that you have to pay. First of all, who has that money right now anyways? Probably, I'm sure you can manipulate some things, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Rick's mad. He says Cam also told Rodgers to either be a Steeler or not. Why not the same for TJ? We want volunteers, not hostages, right?
That's a huge difference right there. There's a guy that spent the past 8 years bleeding that's next to him on the side of the defensive line, and another guy he's never probably met before. You know, so I think that's apples and oranges right there. Now, if Aaron Rodgers was with the Steelers for 10 years, then yeah, you want the same energy, right? I just think it's not the same thing.
Justin, one of our favorite commenters on the YouTube feed, Pony claims an NFC West team recently reached out about TJ. Okay, there's two caveats to that sentence, Justin, and I love you much because you always comment on the show. A, Pony claimed. B, anybody and their brother can reach out about TJ. Yeah. It's we've been talking about that part for a month now. People are going to reach out.
I was specifically told 6 days ago that the Steelers have no interest in trading him, have not made any calls in trading for him. I mean, of course, he's going to pick up the phone, but that's a two-way street. Let's think. NFC, what do you say? NFC West or AFC West?
NFC West. Huh. Niners. Right? Does it really matter? They're not trading.
It doesn't matter. You just, I mean, you make the call just to see.
Yeah.
I mean, Omar would be crazy not to call up the 49ers right now and say, what is Juwan Jennings? What would that cost, right? Oh, you want a what for him? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's just, and again, it's back to the original point. You've mentioned it multiple times. We've said it over the last month, month and a half, or however long this has been going on now, that it's the number one point of conversation for any Steelers fan. Cam Hayward just said it on the Rich Eisen show yesterday. They are not better if they trade him. It's that simple. Like, they went out and got Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf. They've done Jalen Ramsey. I mean, they've done everything they can to be in on
how much
this
money
year.
He's paid this year, Jalen Ramsey. Like $5 million counts against the Steelers cap. Omar's pulling off some wizardry there, man.
He's nifty.
I'm sure it comes down the line and gets him here the year after that or next year, the year after that. But they got enough money to do what they need to do. And I've been saying it forever. I mean, the guaranteed money's huge. The length of the contract might be the one that is the stickler. I don't know. But it seems like that could be more of an issue than what we originally thought. I mean, the Steelers don't want to give a 31-year-old 4 or 5 years. They want to protect their ass. And TJ wants as much money, as much years, as much guaranteed as he can get. I mean, look, it's all about market. It's a market value. Look at Sauce Gardner. He got 100K over the Stingley as the highest paid cornerback. Is he much more important than, say, an edge rusher? Probably not, but the market says this is what you're getting paid. And I wouldn't be shocked that TJ's numbers just like that compared to Miles. Maybe 100K more.
They have to find a way. Like you just said it, Omar's a wizard, the con artist, right? He gets that name for a reason. A, because it's funny. B, because he does pull off some nifty stuff. There has to be a way to write into the contract something that would make the Steelers comfortable with triggering a fourth or fifth year. Look, nobody's excited about giving a 30, 31-year-old edge rusher 4 or 5 years, right? I get it. Nobody lines up to do that. But if you can have TJ meet a certain something in the first 3 years of the deal that automatically triggers a fourth year or a fifth year at a certain price or guarantees a certain amount of money for the back 2 years or back year of the contract, you figure out a way to write that in so that TJ gets to go out, get the guaranteed money he wants in the first 3 years and say, okay, yeah, if I just play X number of snaps or this number of sacks or whatever it is, it triggers the final year or final 2 years of the deal. And the Steelers are able to walk away saying, hey, we didn't really give him 4 or 5 years. We gave him 3. And if he ends up proving that he's more durable than his older brother and still playing all pro level edge rusher at the age of 32, 33, we'll be happy giving him another year or two.
Yeah. Sounds nice and all from the Steelers' point of perspective. Why would TJ want that? I mean, he wants as many guaranteed as possible. And if the Steelers, I mean, you can do that really simple. I mean, you say year 4 and 5. Roster bonus as of March 3rd, we could pick up your option or not. But why would TJ want to do that? That's what you're negotiating for. He wants as many guaranteed years as possible, guaranteed on the roster as possible. So why would I give this up if I have a little bit of a down year? They give a, you know, they might tell me to go hit the bricks. So there's always two sides to it. We always tend to look at the Steelers side, but there's a player side to this as well. Why would he want to do that?
But back to your original point, if you're TJ Watt and you want security and they want to have something that triggers an option or a roster bonus or whatever it is, you believe you're going to be a viable edge rusher well into your 30s, then you theoretically, in the trade market, as you pointed out, you don't think it's necessarily lighting up because people around the league aren't lining up to pay a 30-something edge rusher who is probably in the back third of his career, right? Mm-hmm. So if people aren't lining up to trade for that, they're also probably not going to line up to sign it in free agency or whatever it may be when you're 3 years older. So you go out and play well for the next 3 years, and you trigger those options or those roster bonuses with the way you play because you believe that you're capable of that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I just saw a comment right here, and I just want to
got get distracted off, here naturally.
Off the old Rick Barry one right here. Well, let me explain to you that Hines Ward did hold out for money, and Debo didn't get the money he wanted, so he went to Cincinnati for a year.
He didn't just go to Cincinnati for a year. He then came back and was so annoyed about how he wasn't being used because TJ Watt had entered the fold. He insisted on sleeping through meetings so that he could get traded to New England for the playoffs.
Yeah, but if we're talking about strictly about money, you know, if we're talking about strictly about
money. But I'm backing up your point here in that every guy thinks this way. They want to get paid. Hines did hold out, to your point. Yeah. Troy did hold out. Debo made himself a nuisance until they had to trade him away at one point. Ben obviously wanted to get paid, and he did get paid. So, every single guy does make a stink, whether it's public or not, about getting more money than they're getting.
Mike Wallace wanted more money, and he was told hit the brick. Antonio Brown wanted more money 2 years left on his contract, and they reworked some kind of funky math just to get him some extra money. So, all these guys. I mean, I want paid more. You want paid more.
Yeah.
If there's somebody out there that doesn't want paid more, it just means they're very rich.
They don't need it, right? And who doesn't need it? We all need it. Sometimes we need a new dishwasher. Bucko Dan said, if it got to the franchise tag point, it's all over. What are the chances? Give me a percentage, Mark. A percentage it gets to that point.
I don't think it. Franchise tag?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't think it gets to that point because I don't think it gets past this year. I don't think it gets past the opening day here. But if it does get past that year, you'd be crazy not to entertain that option next year, right? I mean, it's not like – I mean, that's what TJ has to worry about. All of a sudden – what is he, 30 or 31 right now? Is he going to be 31?
He's going to be 31.
Okay, so all of a sudden he's 32 – and he has another year that he'll be heading into his 33 year. And all of a sudden his earning potential goes down if you franchise, because he doesn't want to be franchised. That's when he'd probably make a stink about it. If he does play through this year, then there's considerations of franchising him. But I don't even think it gets to that point.
I mean, to talk about leverage in the back and forth and negotiations, that's another hammer the Steelers hold.
I said this the other day. TJ started up here. Steelers started down here. Eventually, it will come to here, and they sign. I mean, it's not that difficult.
I love your optimism. I really
do. I mean, it's just way. I mean, what? There's not many players that they've come out and labeled as one helmet guys, franchise guys that they wanted. They didn't sign. Why would this be any different?
Yeah, I do think that's the one hammer that Omar holds in this whole thing is, you know, you can. Keep fighting, TJ. But if we have to, we'll play and you'll have to come in and then we'll just tag you next year. And that effectively ends any kind of relationship, I would think, beyond the franchise tag. But TJ wouldn't have much of an option, would he?
No. I mean, do you want to just give TJ Watt away? I mean, I guess if you leave him free agency, what are you getting, a third round pick for him? Next year, I'm saying. But once again, I think we're way ahead of ourselves here. I mean, it just tends to happen. I'm just curious to see what happens a week from now. I do believe he shows up. I don't think it is in any interest of anybody involved for him to hold out. I mean, you're just giving up a couple million bucks. I know there's some sort of clause in the CBA that says maybe you can get around that automatic fine, but I think that's only if you signed an extension last year or your previous contract. They ripped up his contract. What was it? 3 years ago. That's a totally new contract, which would leave him under this, I believe, the subject of getting automatically fined, whatever it is, up to $2.5 million. And honestly, if he comes in, he sits there, he does his stuff on the side. Because we all know that they're not going to negotiate with him if he's sitting at home.
I mean, we're a week away from the first practice. I imagine he'll be there for it. If not, then yeah, we're having maybe a little bit of a different conversation at that point.
You come in and we negotiate. I mean, I remember being at the Hines Ward. I think it was during a preseason game. He came in the day before, signed it. Boom, he played in the preseason game. It might have been against Washington, if I recall. It was that long ago, but get your butt in here, then we'll talk. And you don't want it. You don't want to eliminate that precedent, because then all of a sudden, next year, the year later, well, you did it for this guy. You did it for this guy.
No, right.
This is how we go about our business, and that's why they do it.
Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio 2, McMurray, Peters Township area, for supporting the show as well. Nailstudio2.com. That 2 is a Roman numeral. So nailstudioii.com. You can book your appointments online, 724-941-4595. You're getting ready to go to the beach, assuming your passport will allow you out of the country and you're not a big dummy like me. You just want to hang out by the pool, and you got somebody that says, hey, I got to get my nails done. Best place to send them, Nail Studio 2, at Nail Studio McMurray on Instagram, to check out their work. They're at Lakeview Square on 19, right next to Juniper Grill in the Peters Township McMurray area, right across from Donaldson's Crossroads. It's busy this time of year. Like I said, there's still graduation parties, there's weddings, there's vacations. Go book online now, 724-941-4595 to give him a call, or go to Nail Studio 2. That's nailstudioii.com. Thanks to them for supporting the show as well. You did a nice bit of writing earlier this week, Kaboom. I got to give you a little golf clap for the Zach Frazier piece. It was very nice. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
He's a very interesting bird, man. Yeah. Interesting is he's a classic Pittsburgh Steeler, man. He just wants to go to work. He just wants to go to work, do his job, and that's about it. He doesn't want to start any drama. He doesn't want to do anything. And if you need a new, what do you call that, a shelf or a bookshelf for your house,
build you one.
Build that too. I'm fascinated by that more than anything.
The carpentry thing?
Oh, you go. I remember I said, dude, what do you build? Well, my wife wanted this, this, and this. I'm like, and you can do that? I go to like whatever, Levin and something. That's where I go.
They can't fit it in your basement. It's too big.
Yeah.
It's like a couch.
Yeah, it's tough.
Did you ever get that taken care of, by the way?
Yeah, it fit. I just got my nephew come over, and they were the people that delivered it just decided they didn't want to carry it down the steps, the one piece. It went down like butter.
Okay.
Look at you, though. You're all fancied up there. You got a shelf. You got a terrible
shelf back there. Yeah, you got the Palomalu book. Got the terrible towel. The Hulkamania bandana. Hold on. Let me turn the camera just a little bit. You see that? That's an autographed Hulk Hogan bandana up there on top of the terrible towel. You like that?
If you look on mine right here, that's a talking Johnny Lawrence doll, right?
Where the hell do you even find that?
He has like 14 sayings.
And is it funny?
Put one of those hash browns and send it.
Oh, so it's a bunch of Cobra Kai stuff.
Cobra Kai stuff.
Okay. Cobra Kai merch for Kaboom. I bring up the Zach Frazier thing that you wrote the other day because I thought there was one real interesting nugget in there that people probably haven't thought of much going into this season, and that's that as much as you may believe that this offensive line is built to help them succeed, and I think people are coming around on that thought if they weren't on board with it coming into the offseason, they still have yet as a five-man unit to play a single snap together. Because Faletonu missed last year. You got Broderick Jones moving over to the left. You feel good about Seumalo and McCormick, sure, and Frazier in the middle, definitely. But these five have to hit the ground running because you got a 41, 42-year-old quarterback behind them.
Yeah, you got to hit the ground running. The problem there is Seumalo is not going to get a lot of game time, preseason game time, but you would assume that he's can get by that, you know. Maybe not. Frazier played with him enough last year, I think, so we'll be able to see on that one there. But yeah, it's imperative. I mean, and they don't have many padded practices. I mean, the first week is just non-pads. Then all of a sudden you got 2 weeks left where you're not going to really hit that much, but you're still going to, you know, you'll have a couple live sessions, a couple preseason games. But they have to perform. They have to take that next step. The proverbial Mike Tomlin, second year, third year, next step. And if you don't take that next step, you can sign all the Jalen Ramseys and DK Metcalfs and Jonnu Smiths in the world. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, like it gets to, in some people's opinions, be an old, tired cliche, but it really does all come down to the trenches. It's why they got steamrolled by the Ravens in the playoffs on defense. And if their offensive line doesn't play well this year, you're right. Doesn't matter how many tight ends are out in the formation or how good Caleb Johnson is or whether Aaron Rodgers comes in ready to hum right from the very beginning. It all falls to pieces if those five aren't ready to go, like you said, right out of the gate. And that's the biggest thing on the O-line is developing some kind of chemistry. If they don't develop that chemistry right away too, and guys don't know where they're supposed to be, like AQ said it when we had him on, I saw you drop some of the quotes in the story about Zach Frazier. Like, it's completely different. This isn't just, hey, go punch the dude in the mouth in front of you. It's, well, no, this is a weak side counter. So I got to know where I'm going, how I'm getting there, and not just where I'm going and how I'm getting there in the case of like Zach Frazier, but the guy next to me and the guy on the other side of me and the guy on the back side of the formation. You got to know all five guys' jobs, and you all got to be working together in concert, or else it goes to shit real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why people are somewhat worried about the offensive line. You got the right guard, right tackle that's never played more than, what, 20 snaps, if that. You got the left tackle who's never played there in the pros. You have the guard that come from South Dakota who, you know, maybe hit that rookie wall late in the season last year. And you got Frazier, who was banged up at least twice last year. So there's some concern. I can see where the concern is, but I think the talent supersedes all that. But if you want to be worried about something, Mac, we're talking about offensive line.
Yeah.
I might be more worried about the defensive line.
Really?
You got 39-year-old Hayward. I mean, what is he, 36?
Yeah.
You got Benton that pretty much leveled off his second year, and you got a rookie. And a bunch of other guys.
Like 15 defensive linemen.
Wouldn't that worry you more than the offense? I don't hear anybody say, boy, I'm worried about this defensive line. You're coming off a 300-yard game you allowed to the Ravens in the playoffs. And you – did you upgrade? You upgraded, but maybe not immediately upgraded. Benton has to play – I mean, Hayward has to play out of his mind again. Benton has to make that step forward, and Harmon has to be a guy that can come in and play right away. No, I'm a little bit more concerned about that than I would be the offensive line right now.
Do you think teams are going to continue to try and attack them on the ground until they prove that they have gotten better? Like, that would be my game plan. If I had any kind of running game as an offensive coordinator, I see the Steelers on my early season schedule. Yeah. I'm thinking about a way to do it. Granted, I might not have a Derrick Henry on my roster, but I'm going to think about how I might be able to do what the Ravens did.
Yeah, you try to run the ball. I mean, you got Patrick Queen, who's an all-around good player, but is he a run-stopping guy that you can count on? No. Peyton Wilson will be playing in his first career, you know, his first year as a starter. You think you know what you have in him, but you really don't. And probably, arguably, your best open field tackler historically, Minkah Fitzpatrick's gone. I know Elliott played well last year, but Minkah was a pretty good open field tackler. So all of a sudden, up the middle is a little iffy. Yeah, you run the ball until they prove that you can't. And right now, I mean, if you're trying to be critical and you're looking at the defensive line, that interior two linebackers, and even the safeties, man, you can gut them up the middle. I mean, I'm sure teams right now saying, if this team is weak, we can get them up the gut, man.
Like, they don't play two terrifically talented teams offensively in the first 2 weeks, the Jets and the Seahawks, but they each have a good running back. Mm-hmm. Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker III, respectively. I mean, those first 2 weeks, I got a feeling they're going to get a fair dose of the run game shoved right down their throat, and they better be ready for it.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker, he's healthy, right? I mean,
yeah,
he's never healthy, it seems like.
But, I mean, that's a guy that if he is healthy, and it's week two, right? So he's probably not banged up yet in week two. And like I said, the Jets are going to lean on Breece. You know the Jets are going to run. If the Jets have any brains whatsoever, they're going to try and replicate what the Steelers offense attempted to do in the first 6 weeks last year with Justin Fields as quarterback. Just put the ball on the ground and just run, and don't ask Fields to do too much. Don't ask him to throw too much. Probably not a lot of deep balls downfield. We're just going to see if we can't suck the life out of the football and run it down your throat. If the Jets don't do that, then I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. Another reason why you need TJ Watt for week one. Keep guy like Fields in that side of the pocket. If there's one guy can race him down from the backside, it would be Watt. But
yeah,
I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves of breaking down games a little bit here, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, all the teams have to look at the Steelers right now and think that they can run on them until they prove that they can't. I mean, all teams have that same thought, right?
Well, let's brought up the first 2 weeks is because, like I said, they both have quality running backs, and then you get to week three and week four, and it's like you're playing the Patriots. I don't even know half the guys on the Patriots roster.
Didn't they just draft somebody? Ramondre Stevenson's pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I'm worried about the Patriots' offensive line blowing a hole in the Steelers' defensive line. Oh, did you realize they signed Robert Spillane? I didn't know that. The Patriots signed Robert Spillane.
Oh, yeah, he was a big Vrabel guy.
Apparently. That makes sense.
There's a stock, right? Trayvon Henderson.
Trayvon Henderson could be pretty good. That's a guy I wouldn't have minded the Steelers picking up had he been available. But
oh, you wanted Quinshon Judkins and see where that would have got you. You wanted Judkins and Shedeur Sanders, right?
Right, right. I'm the one that wanted Shedeur. Exactly.
Browns being the Browns, right?
I liked Henderson. I didn't hate Judkins. I like Caleb Johnson. I expect that to work out. But no, there's no reason for an offense to not try to run the ball down the Steelers' throat until they show that they can stop it again.
Yeah, I mean, we got, 6 days to see what this team really looks like? And, you know, and we've been talking a lot about T.J. Watt a lot for obvious reasons. Boys, that seems like it's taken a lot of, not pressure, but notoriety or at least thought off of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we've yet to see him throw a real legit pass.
How much do you think he'll really do during camp and in the preseason?
He has to. I mean, he can't do any less than what he did in mini camp. So I mean, if they had such thing as red jerseys, he'd put it on. But I think he will. He might have the infamous 2 days on, 1 day off type of situation. You know, what they tend to do with some of the veterans. But you got to get him acclimated. So I don't think there's going to be maybe not preseason, but I'm quite sure he's going to take part in a lot of.
You got to get him at least a series during the preseason, right? Not a three and out. Like, get out there, pick up a couple first downs, get in the rhythm of the game.
I don't know. You know what Mike Tomlin would say there? I got 20 years of knowing what Aaron Rodgers can do. I don't need to be shown that. That's his probably reasoning of why he's not going to play him. But is it really worth it, though?
Will they make him do the conditioning test?
You know, last year none of us actually watched it because it was apparently, you know, just how they had the press conference set up afterwards that we weren't allowed to be. We were allowed to be there, but it wasn't smart to go there at that point. And look what happens, right? Something tells me he's not going to take part in this.
You don't think he's going to be doing the conditioning test? Not going to be pushing any sleds?
Even running like they need to run. You know, there's a lot of guys that shouldn't be doing that.
That's probably a good point. A lot of older guys now on the defense. But, I mean, it's like a basic thing with football. Show me that you can run up and down the field, I would think.
Yeah, but that run test is a lot different over the past 20 years. And I mean, they literally run like what? They jog like, I don't even know if it's 100 yards. They jog 100 yards, then walk back. And they do that four times. It wasn't the old Cower way.
Jermaine Stevens puking on the sideline.
Yeah. That's looked like an antiquated way of doing things any days. I mean, they literally got computer chips in the back of their jerseys to tell them how many steps, how fast they've gone, and everything to do about their body makeup and of what happened during that day. And we're sitting here running to see if you can jog 400 yard dashes and walk back.
So they're not going to make Rodgers do it, is what you're saying.
No, they shouldn't. It should be a rule that CBA should say nobody over the age of 30 should have to do.
Should have to run?
Should have a conditioning test.
Nobody over the age of 30 is allowed to run anymore in the NFL.
Well, Leo, I mean, what good is Chris Boswell doing? Nothing good can happen out of it, right?
Yeah, your quarterback ends up straining his calf while pushing a sled. I guess that's the only impact.
Oh, did you happen to see the Steelers' magnetic schedule?
No.
Who's prominently displayed at the top?
Who?
Trent Jordan Watt.
Oh, well, yeah. But no, you're not going to put them on promotional material.
Well, everybody else is like pretty much, you know, jammed in at the bottom. But you got this big photo of him at the top.
When do the alternate jerseys get released? When's that happen?
That's heading either sometime next week, I believe. I don't think they made a specific date yet.
What do you think these things look like?
Well, obviously it's going to be the big talk is the helmet, right?
Right.
With the helmet. What can you do with the helmet? You already had the ugly.
Got the gold one, the yellow one, whatever you want to call it.
The yellow one. You already had the black one. You already had the block numbers. So, I mean, I just hope it's not cheesy. And it looks like it's probably going to be cheesy. Maybe black shirt. I'm guessing. If I'm guessing, it's a 100% guess because I've been trying to find it out, but nobody's telling me.
Okay.
I would say white helmet, black shirt, white pants. How about that?
That's it?
What do you want?
I told you way back when that they should an Irish-themed one for the game over there.
See, I don't even know if that would work. They'd have to do something a little bit different with this jersey because to do an alternate jersey, you're doing it to make money, sell merch.
If you're telling me Yinzers aren't going to go out and buy a bunch of Irish-themed Steelers jerseys if you make one? Is
you're not going out and just saying, hey, let me buy a pair of white slacks to go with my black, you know, right? You're not going to go out and buy a helmet for the most part unless it's a mini helmet.
So it's got to be a different kind of jersey.
There's going to have to be something, right? They should pull the old Batman one out, right?
Just give me the block numbers all the time, and I'll be a happy done. No, I mean all the time. Make it permanent. Back to the block numbers.
If I'm worried about that, I would rather do the old late 90s as really bad, like iron-on rounded numbers. Do you remember Bettis always wearing them?
No.
Might have been a year.
Remember the one year the nameplate was in black right after they switched to the rounded numbers? You remember that? No. It looked terrible. And then they went back to
the You can purchase game used jerseys on their website?
How much are those? That's probably depends ridiculous.
On who it is. I think I saw a Dan Moore for like $700.
Who's other than Dan Moore? Who is spending $700 on a game worn Dan Moore jersey?
I think Cam Sutton was there.
No, I'm good.
I can't remember. I was looking at it last night. I went down the old wormhole.
No,
see what you can buy.
I'm good. Thank you. I'll save my money for fixing the appliances around the house. If your AC is busted, I know the people to call too. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. It's the dead of summer. The last thing you need is to be sweating your rear end off in your Haas. If something's not working right, it's just not working at all. They're the people to get a hold of. Check them out on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or you can always give them a call. Like I said, 412-297-1852. This is not the time of year where you don't want the HVAC system to be working.
Yeah, your boy Rappaport just tweeted that Mike Williams is retiring.
I mean, do the Chargers have any wide receivers? I guess they drafted a couple this year.
Quentin Johnson. Quentin
can't hold on to the ball. Johnston, Ladd McConkey. Trey Harris, who they drafted but still hasn't signed, I don't think. KLS, Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State was like a fifth-round pick. That's it. That's what they got. They're just going to run the ball 60 times a week and finally not let Justin Herbert screw it up in the playoffs, maybe.
We sit here and we complain about, you know, wasting the good years of Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, maybe even to the degree Ben Roethlisberger. If Justin Herbert was even a fraction of what people think he was, which I think he's extremely overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they don't put much weapons around him, do they?
No. He was on that top 10 quarterback list that came out the other day.
What has he ever done? I mean, he might have the talent, but what has he ever done?
Well, he hasn't won in the playoffs.
Nothing. Nothing. He's done nothing.
I'm not defending Justin Herbert. I just brought it up. I know it lights you up for whatever reason.
I mean, because people were saying, boy, why can't the Steelers get a Justin Herbert? What has he done? Nothing. Mason Rudolph's played better than him.
I don't know if Mason's won a playoff game either, though. Sorry, Mason.
Oh, they're even then.
Okay, fair. A couple quick notes. We saw Seth Rollins hosting the Rich Eisen show yesterday, which, again, like I said, is a little weird. Feels a little strange to see him doing stuff like that. Like, he's done Good Morning Football a couple times. I don't know.
He's done that before, though, hasn't he?
Rich Eisen show?
He was on a Rich Eisen show once before.
Well, he was on yesterday, and they were asking him about the knee injury. He said, you can't see it here, obviously, but I got a knee brace on. My crutches are over in the corner after the injury on Saturday night's main event that threw a whole hitch into the plans for that match, as well as the final match. And he doesn't sound too positive. Or I guess he's taking it positively because he's been through this before with a major knee injury. But as far as returning soon, doesn't sound positive.
I am not a doctor. I only know my body and what I feel. And what I feel is that this is going to be me out for an extended period of time.
Out for an extended period of time, Kaboom. I don't know where they go with this. He said his main concern is being back before WrestleMania, but he was supposed to go get a second opinion on it because the MRI they got in Alabama, his knee was too swollen to really get decent results. This kind of blows up what I thought was a pretty fun storyline with him and Breaker and Rollins and Heyman and all that.
Well, I thought Roman Reigns was going to come back. I wish I would have, if Seth was still around, I would imagine that would have been Roman's target on Monday.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, imagine having things like worked out for 6 months and all of a sudden your top dog who you gave the money in the bank briefcase to, which assures you're going to be a champion, and now you don't know. I mean, it's the same knee that he injured a decade ago, but I mean, even if there is significant swelling in that knee, they have to know this doesn't look good, man. You know, right? I mean, you should be even.
I mean, he said it himself. He doesn't think it looks good.
Swelling. You should be able to tell if your ACL is at least a little bit compromised.
Yeah, it sounds like from what he said, he's just not being official about it because he doesn't want to be the one to say it. But yeah, I mean, if he says he's going to be out for a significant amount of time, that what are they going to do with the Money in the Bank case then? That's my next question.
Until June, right?
So yeah, but
you wait and see if he can come back, and you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and see what happens. I wouldn't take it away from him.
No, you can't really, can you? Well, he could give it to someone, right?
You can do whatever you want. You could have a gauntlet match for the briefcase. Who knows? I think you just give it to him and you see what happens in 3 months. I mean, what's an extended period of time? 3 months, 9 months, 12 months?
He mentioned it kind of in passing, but he said his first concern is always being back for Mania. I mean, that's 9 months.
Early April this year. I don't think it's late April. I don't think it is.
I mean, still.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much. Now, who takes over that role now?
That's what I don't know.
Is going to get that push, or are they going to throw LA Knight into more things?
Karrion Kross.
Cody Rhodes is supposed to be leaving for shooting a movie, right?
Is he?
I thought he was supposed to leave for a while. Cena's obviously going to be gone. Roman shows up once every 6 months. I mean, although they haven't really done Punk much many favors over the past year and a half.
No. You know who takes over? Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll takes over.
I saw that coming. Jelly Roll. Play. You don't have no play there?
What? No, I don't have video on it. I didn't want Disney to come after us. So I just grabbed a still shot. That is Jelly Roll on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show last night. Choke slamming Logan Paul through the desk, which you say you saw coming a mile
away. Oh, man. As soon as Drew came out and I looked, and I'm like, oh, that's a gimmick desk right there. That's an absolute gimmick desk. And it was.
So for those of you that didn't see it, Randy Orton was a guest. Jelly Roll and Randy Orton talking about the tag match they're going to have at SummerSlam against Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Drew McIntyre walks out, starts berating them, and goads Randy Orton into coming after him. They fight off towards the backstage area. Jelly Roll pretends to be shocked by the whole thing and says, well, we're going to go to commercial break. And then Logan Paul comes out and starts yelling at Jelly Roll. And Jelly Roll eventually, well, first Logan Paul slaps him, give him the old bitch slap across the face. And then Jelly Roll grabs Logan Paul, choke slams him through the desk. Jelly Roll, for what it's worth, for a guy who weighed like 450 pounds a couple years ago.
I think it was more like 550.
It may have been. I don't know. He was enormous.
I thought he said on his podcast, I think it was his wife's podcast, that he was up around 550.
Well, he looks, I mean, for a guy that looked like that a couple years ago, he looks really, like I saw him on Pat's show the other day. He looks really good.
Yeah, he lost about 2 bills, but it's, if you hear some of the stories coming out and how much he's dedicated to trying to be a wrestler now, or at least in the short term of, you know, effect of him being a wrestler, it's pretty impressive how much he's working. But let me tell you something. He's pretty damn good at that late night talk show host.
You like that?
I haven't watched those things in a while because they've, well, we know they switched from being funny and guest to very political as of the past 10 years, and you just don't want to watch it. This was like the old school late night TV you used to watch, I think, with like the Lettermans. And even back to my day, not even my day, it was before my day, Johnny Carson, way before my day. I thought he was very good. I mean, I can't be easy for Jelly Roll to host a late night talk show, but I thought he did a hell of a job.
I didn't get to see any of it other than the clip with him choke slamming Logan Paul, obviously, through the desk. But
yeah, I'll what's take his name there, Jeremy Renner. He was interviewing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was before Randy Orton.
Jeremy Renner, big fan of the Bloomfield, East Liberty, Shadyside area. Whenever they filmed that, what's it called? King, what's it called?
You're asking the wrong
guy. Paramount Plus show with Jeremy Renner. They film it in Pittsburgh all the time. Come on, help me out. Mayor of Kingstown. God damn, you're no help.
How would I watch that crap? Mayor of King, what's it on now?
Paramount Plus, I think. I haven't watched it before. I've just seen lots of commercials for it.
I already have too many streaming services I have to pay for, so I'm not getting that one.
Yeah, why would you waste your time watching that when you could watch this wonderful show right here? You can
just go on YouTube, too, and watch a lot of these things.
That's true.
See, I got YouTube TV, but I don't think none of the kids watch it. I'm thinking, why do I got YouTube TV then?
Yeah, it's like $70 a month, isn't it?
Yeah, well, better than more than I watch in Netflix.
All right, money bags. He's Mark Cabali, veteran Steelers reporter. I'm Chris Mack.
I'm not going to the Dominican.
Guy with a microphone in his basement, but a passport that expires in exactly 6 months. So I got to drive to Buffalo on Monday. Long story. Go back to the beginning of the show if you missed it.
You want to get some wings?
Hell yeah, we're going to get
anchor
wings.
Bar? But apparently the Anchor Bar is not the best wings in Buffalo, though.
Who is?
Well, call up JB. He knows.
No, you tell me.
I go to the Anchor Bar because I'm there for the the nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Where they were invented. But apparently, that's sort of like, I'm not going to say it. That's like saying you're drinking Iron City beer and you come to Pittsburgh. Boy, that Iron City beer is good. Oh, it is? Or Stoney's. We'll say Stoney's.
Stoney's.
No. Yeah. Anchor Bar is good. But you know what? We went to the Anchor Bar 3, 4, 5 years. I don't even know when it was. And I met some of the Post-Gazette guys there, and Ray Fittipaldo got boneless wings at Anchor Bar, and everybody was.
He got boneless wings?
Yes.
What is he?
Even the server was making fun of him, but I was the one making fun of him first.
Who does that?
I mean, yeah, boneless wings, chicken nuggets.
Oh, my God. All right, that's going to do it for today. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. When we get to 2,500, somebody gets an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Make sure you're following on Instagram. When we get to 500 there, somebody gets the $100 Yoli's gift certificate. We'll do it again, I don't know, the next time I don't have to drive to some far-off city to pick up a passport.
When are you going again? What day?
Monday. You got to make an appointment online. It's not like you can just show up. You got to make an appointment.
You were making fun of me when I got scammed off of my passport.
Well, you got scammed. I'm not getting scammed.
I'm not the one driving the Buffalo.
Fair point. Happy birthday to Mason Rudolph. He turned 30 today. Friend of the program, as it were. He turned 30 today. How about that?
I remember when I turned 30. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. Same here. All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll catch up with Yins again soon. And, of course, training camp is now exactly, 6 days away, the report date out at St. Vincent College in La Trobe. Kaboom can't wait to get out there and get some wings out in La Trobe. Where are you going to go first?
Probably Dino's.
It's a good call.
I just make sure I don't fall down that hill.
Hey, I fell down the hill. What happened to you?
That was like the Dino's in Greensburg.
Different Dino's.
What do you think of Joey O's pizza? You a Joey O's guy?
Where's Joey O's?
Apparently, that's like the pizza of La Trobe, Greensburg area. You know who loves it? The great GM Omar Khan loves it. Might be his best favorite pizza. It tastes like that Dino's closed. Justin, really?
Is the Greensburg one closed?
Is that because Leno?
Because I fell down the hill. Jay Leno, you fell.
That's a terrible Jay Leno voice. I'm sorry.
Real bad Leno.
All right, cool.
But yeah, Joey's. It tastes like apple pie with pizza on it. Very sweet.
Who wants that?
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people like it, but
so Omar's got terrible taste in pizza, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, we do talk pizza a lot. And he's a big pizza aficionado, and Joey O's is his favorite, I think.
You know what?
Yeah, where's a good pizza around? Oh, Yoli's.
Executive decision. This is how we get people on the show. I'm sure this will work. Tell Omar, $100 Yoli's gift certificate is his. If he comes on the show before camp.
Yeah, I'm sure that $100 is really going to move the
needle. Omar, I know you watch sometimes. $100 Yoli's gift certificate if you come on the show. It's better than Joey.
I'm sure Benny Business, our buddy Benny Business, could hook him up.
We'll make it happen, Omar.
Have you ever had the Filipponi?
No. Is that a pasta or a sub?
No, it's a hoagie. It's a hoagie with steak.
You know it's not named after it.
Yeah. The real pony messaged me and goes, asked me yesterday. I said, no, it has nothing to do with it.
It's named after, I think, Benny's grandmother or something. Her name was Filipponi.
And they changed it to Phillips or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they got some good pie there. Good pie. Good Yoli rolls.
Yeah. A little bit
of everything. You're making me hungry, buddy.
All right. Go get some lunch then. I'm going to get out of here.
Those hoagies are really good, though. Oh.
Are you done talking about?
What's the difference between a hoagie and a grinder?
Nobody calls it a grinder.
Well, Adam Sandler did.
Yeah, just for the song.
I mean, that's not a made-up word, grinder.
I've never heard a human alive call a hoagie a grinder. First time I hear it, it will be the first time anybody's ever said it.
What's a grinder?
Isn't it
grinder is a hoagie sandwich that has been toasted or heated after assembly.
Does it become a grinder if you put it in your pocket?
Apparently so, because it's a sandwich traditionally with hot fillings like meatballs or sausage.
Wrap that up, get it in your pocket, save it for later.
That's a grinder. So like a cold Italian sub is not a grinder.
No.
But a meatball sub is a grinder.
Good to know. I've learned something new today. I got to go play some Shaboozy and give away some Morgan Wallen tickets. You got to go eat lunch. We'll talk again soon, okay? All right. See you again soon right here on Cabalia Mac. Oh,